Kathy's got a question.
My question has to do with economics. I wanted to know what each of your economic viewpoint is and how your viewpoint interrelates with county government and their effect on taxpayers and how our economy thrives in this area.
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, that's,
no,
that's a mouthful.
Gary,
I can do it.
Okay, Gary, you're next.
Sure. My answer would be that, honestly, I mean, I've been to the county meetings. I know how much money goes in and out of that place. It's quite staggering. I mean, when you first start out and you're dealing with the city, I know that you brought up that you thought that, you know, the city had all the money, but it's shocking. It was shocking to me to sit through just the insurance portion of the county. It amazes me how expensive it is. You know, they have the county employees and fire and police, and all of those insurances went up. Thank you so much, current presidential influence.
But even more specifically than that, and I realize everybody's fighting with budgets, but more specifically is how your economic viewpoint, the decisions you make, how do you see the decisions you're making affect the economy of our whole county?
Well, I definitely like to see, more ways to bring in money into the county. I think that we can definitely look at putting some more jobs out there, you know, so that we've got places that are bringing money and people into the county. But I mean, as far as spending, I'm very conservative when it comes to that. I'm not looking to try to create this huge deficit. I think the county runs fairly smoothly, really. I think they do a really good job. We've got Tim in there is doing a good job. You've done an excellent job. You know, you guys were just talking at the last meeting about our finances and the things that you're doing in order to bring money in with our money, you know, using our money to create more money, which is always a fantastic thing to do. So, I have to speak into the microphone. Sorry.
And I wanted to invite people to use the other mic if you have a question. Because we have a lot of people, believe it or not, myself, I'm a veteran. I should be wearing hearing aids. There's a lot of people back there that I'm looking at that they're doing this stuff.
My apologies.
So, no, it's quite all right. So, I want to invite people to come up to this mic if they have a question, that way everybody can hear it. Yeah, I apologize. I didn't realize that they're having this.
No problem. I definitely want to make sure that the money that we are spending is going to the best places, and that we're only spending what is necessary, and that we're taking care of our fiscal responsibilities to the taxpayers, period. I need to do a whole lot more research on the different pools of money, the different funding that is available for different projects within the county. I know that the money comes from a lot of places, and it's quite staggering. I just listening at the meetings, you know, the different pools of money, the different places that you can get money for different things throughout the county. There's a lot, and there's always a learning curve when you go in there. I fully expect to hit that, but I learn quickly. You know, so I'll get in there and I'll do the best job for the people, but I'm definitely not going to be spending more money than is necessary in order to get the job done. Anybody else?
I agree with that. There's been a lot of money wasted in this town. I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but sometimes you have to do that. So I guess I'm the guy. We've given millions of dollars away to people wanting to come in our city from outside, and they're going to add 150, 250 employees. And about the time they get most of the money advanced to them, they hit the road and build them a real nice ranch somewhere else, and they never come back. And we have a lot of opportunists out there. We have to be careful when you're going to start a business. You get somebody that doesn't know how to start a business, how to run a business, and what to look for, you're going to get cheated out of every single time you do it. Let me take one simple thing. about this. Gross receipts tax is very, very important. Very important. This road to Engle could make a lot of difference. A lot of difference. We have a sign on the other side. Most of the traffic coming through town is not from the north to south. It's from the south to Ruidoso and back in the weekends, right? Or in El Paso. Right by the overpass, even after you come from El Paso up and turn, there's a sign right there. Bypass. Bypass. Tularosa. Bypass. We need to take Tularosa off that sign. There are members of this community, but there's not a whole lot of money that they'll stop in Tularosa for. Now, Alamogordo, on the other hand, we got to remember that in every car, and this is a salesman's perspective, every car has human beings in it. Every human being has a pocket. And in that pocket is made to hold their money. So the more people come in a car, the more cars go down our strip. My gosh, we've got some great restaurants in this town. You know, I'm not here enough to enjoy them. I'm mostly down there where I am and have been working. But the service stations, the everything, the fast food, there's no way somebody could drive in after coming all the way from El Paso, for instance, with no place to, excuse me, take a leak anywhere. Now, you want to help the people, put a comfort station there. I mean, in the daytime, you see little children out taking a wee-wee. I mean, this is not right. Coming from the south, we don't need to divert that traffic. We need to take that sign off and put truck bypass. Truck bypass. That's what we meant to have, not an automobile family bypass. We want to bring them through our town. I'll tell you how crazy I was about 12 years ago. I sat down and wrote the Chamber of Commerce when I came off my route from the mountains at 11:30 at night. And I got a roll of toilet paper, and I wrote them what I felt about that sign. And you know what? I never got one. And I went about 35 feet worth of toilet paper. And I write small. And I got it out of my system. But it's still there.
Well,
because you know what? Salesmen don't run this town. And salesmen don't have a spot in the community that says, and you listen to us. You want to make money, you have to go to a small businessman. And there's a lot of us around. I'm not saying I'm the smartest one. I just might be the best looking one, but I'm not the smartest one. And that's one thing that needs to be changed. But gross receipts taxes, we need to increase a lot. I was fortunate once, and I'm going to end this in about 1 minute, fortunate enough to be on a Chamber of Commerce meeting years ago when I was a young man. Dr. John Paul Stapp was there, and Aubrey Dunn Sr., and me, and I was the youngest one, of course. And we had a meeting about revenue. And Dr. Stapp, don't think that that man didn't have a mind that was just unreal. He did have one. He might not have looked like it, but he did fabulous things while he was on this earth. He said, John, if it'll never happen probably in my lifetime, but he said, you might live long enough to see it happen. If you can put a tramway from the back of that Space Hall of Fame and take it to the top of that mountain and have a place where people can sit and look over the scenery and eat and drink and have a good time and bring them back down. He said, I guarantee every person that comes to Alamogordo sooner or later will go on that tram, and every person that lives in Alamogordo will go on that tram, and you won't have budget shortfalls. It'll pay for all the government. And it's a fun thing, and we'd be known for it. This is the International Space Hall of Fame. Let's build on that thing, you know?
That's a good point.
Dr. Stapp, it's not me.
To answer Kathy's question on that, I think if I'm elected to this office, we need to work alongside the city of Alamogordo and start marketing Alamogordo and put some of the tax dollars into this economic development deal we have down here on White Sands Boulevard to generate more gross receipts tax. I'd like to see, I know in Alamogordo, there's $6 million sitting in an account that's been collected over the years. It's just sitting there. There's nobody to invest it with. And I would like to see them take that and along with the county. The county contributes to it every year, too. Maybe invest in some of these smaller companies that are already here in town that are established and help them grow, create more jobs, bring more tax revenue back into the city, into the county. And then that tramway idea that he just mentioned, I've never heard of that, but that would be brilliant, honestly.
Who would have thought of that?
Yeah. That's what I see from sitting over there and on this side of it. I'm not real sure the contribution that Otero County makes. I think it's about $15,000 a year, $30,000 a year to OCDEC down there. And then I know over here they contribute another $125,000 to that fund. And then it generates money each year off of a GRT. But we need to start taking that money and reinvesting it into the community to start generating more jobs and more tax money. So, thank you.
Okay, Colt. Gary was next.
Oh, go ahead.
And
go
then
ahead.
Sharon, and then Colt. Right. Okay, you boys. You boys.
So you guys have talked a lot about the city of Alamogordo. So there's a resident, the rural resident outside the city of Alamogordo. The second you step outside the city, more than likely you're going to step on some sort of federally managed land. Within that federally managed land, us as a resident live. So we have there's a lot of fights as far as personal property rights go within those federally managed lands. Not only that us as residents own, but that the county owns. It's been a constant fight that isn't something that's going to be a learn-as-you-go thing. It's something you're going to need to know as soon as you step in there. I'd like to know from each of you, what do you know about these private property rights within the federally managed lands that we have to survive in, and what's your thought on fighting those fights? Are you, as a commissioner, going to help us fight those, or are you going to back away and watch us suffer and another industry go down?
This last commission meeting, obtained a copy of the FLIPMA manual. It's a new one to me. I'm still reading through it. And then there was another ordinance that they gave me down there at the county's office pertaining to that and the different laws and that pertain to I guess there's 88% of Otero County is federally governed land. And it's a really, really hard fight. You know, that one, I've listened to Blair Dunn. I've talked with him on several occasions and he was in that fight. So I'm ready to get into the fight with you guys on it. Like I say, I'm still studying that FLIPMA manual and reading that law on that. But I'm more than willing to jump in there. I had a little bit of it in past experiences with some of the watershed stuff that we had up in Sacramento Lake with the city. We have some watersheds up there, and the federal government, the BLM's, you know, overstepping their authority. Our snake tape project, you know, I worked extensively on that. We've had a lot of problems with the BLM on that. We finally fought them in court. We finally won. And that project's finally moving forward after about 15 years worth of fighting it in court. But, you know, if I'm elected to this office, I'll be more than willing to fight the fight with you guys. You know, so, but I'm still studying the manual and the laws on that.
I think you guys know that I have a copy of the entire...
Oh, sir.
I'm sorry. Is that better? I actually have a copy of the entire lawsuit between Otero County and the Forest Service. So I've been going through that. I've had a lot of conversations with all of y'all and learned quite a bit. And I know I've spoken to Yvette on this. You guys got a heck of a fight on your hands, and I'm quite honestly, I look at you guys and I'm shocked that you're still doing what you're doing, because you have to fight so hard just to continue to exist. I asked Colt the other day, I said, how do you make any money? And he said, I don't. I mean, breaking even is not how things are supposed to be done anymore, and I can't believe that one of the oldest professions, very much just resembling one of the oldest professions currently, because you guys are really not in a good, they're not treating you right. I honestly, I can't wait to get in this. You know, I really can't. I want to help. I want to hear everything that's going on. I want to come up and see everything that's going on. This is enough, you know, enough. You've got people who want to actually do the things that their family has done for generations. Why in the world are we stopping these people from doing that? And I'm still completely baffled by all the fast food residents who are having a problem with you guys raising hamburgers. This is an issue for me. I don't understand. I mean, where do they think this stuff comes from? I actually talk to people who live in town, and they say, well, you know, meat comes from Walmart. They don't grow it. You know, you guys do it. You guys do it, and you need to be able to do it without having any of these issues and without having people manage you, micromanage you off of land that you've been doing this on for so long. And you're not hurting the land. You're the best stewards of the land that there is. You know, I don't understand it. I will never understand it, and I'll fight with you. And I've been, you know, I actually contacted the right people when they were talking about it, the city of getting this, getting that Wild Turkey Federation going down here in Alamogordo. I got a hold of the right people so that we could stop that and get that off the books over there, because they don't need to be anywhere involved in anything that we're doing in government, period. They need to leave us alone. And they've done some really bad stuff to you guys, and I'm not going to let that happen anymore if I can do anything about it.
Absolutely right. Through my travels up in the mountains, you people are different people than most live down here. I've never met so many people in one location that are tender-hearted, are reverent, are touchy about what you might say about them, because you're up there with God Almighty, because it's beautiful up there, and you're with your animals and your critters, you're with the rain, you're with everything that's growing that you see coming and growing. It's a different type of people that farmers and ranchers are. You're the salt of the earth, not like the way I was grown, you know, around a bunch of people. But, you know, I've gotten beaten twice running for office in this county by this slogan that I don't like. I can hit the ground running. You know, it took me 6 years to go through college, and I didn't get that by sitting around twiddling my toes or doing something other than trying with a C-plus going in and a C-plus coming out after six freaking years. That's not the word I want to use. You think I didn't learn how to collate intelligence and come out with an answer in order to do it? I've never failed in a business yet, but no one's given me the opportunity. When I was running for assessor, there's good people in the assessor's office. No two things about it. And I loved them all. But I wanted to try my hand on it because there was no cross training. That's one segment. The next segment, there was too much waste. I asked a girl in there, nobody in this room is who I'm talking about, when I went in, what's the assessor's name? And she said, and she was working the front door. And she said, well, I don't know. I said, is he here? So it tells you who it was. And he said, the women run this place. And so she said, no, I don't know. I said, how long have you been working here? And she said, about 2 years. Well, you know, the law says you go in and pick up your check after about 6 days a month or 2 days a month. There's no stipulation on how many you had to do that. So the chief deputy, who does most of the work anyway, was the one doing all the work. But everybody had the same job that they had for 8, 9, 10 years. Now, in business, you train people to do all kinds of things. You got to be able to sweep the floor, stock the shelves. You got to be able to inventory. You got to be able to do everything. If you don't, you're going out of business. Why run the county businesses like they've been run? You get a seat and you don't ever lose it. You get an office and you got a job till you die. Is that right? I don't believe in that. So I want to tell you, you don't give me a chance because I hadn't done it and I hadn't lived up there. I believe that the county's number one. I believe our county sheriff is the number one law enforcement officer in the whole United States, if we live here, because we're the smallest. Our rights are supposed to be number one, not the big guys making all the money and doing all the things like that. But I'm for you. I'm on your side. I wanted to leave you alone. That forest is great. You can go up there. I don't like, tell you the truth, wheeled things that can burn down our forest driving through there. I never was for that. Now, I don't know how y'all might be. You might be all for it, but that kind of rubbed me raw.
Any other questions? Gary Stone, your turn.
Thank you. I'm going to stay on the same issue that Colt started on. I just want to make a comment and go a little bit further with that. In the and we're going to be talking about the Endangered Species Act, which all of you this week seen how devastating that's going to be to the industry in New Mexico, the state of New Mexico, and to Otero County. Okay, in Section 5, and Doug's going to have to talk about the Endangered Species Act. In Section 5, it says that it cannot infringe on personal property rights, which is just exactly what Colt mentioned. We have, as local and state government, we have no path forward unless the state and local government accept the fact that we have pre-1907 senior water rights. The OSC in Albuquerque has not done that. The Department of Agriculture in Las Cruces has not done that. Otero County happens to have the largest allotment in not just the state of New Mexico, but in the region in New Mexico and Arizona put together. That's the reason that the target is on the back of Sacramento grazing. You let this allotment go down and you'll see an industry die. The rest of them will just, they'll just knock over, just like that. It's the number two industry in the state of New Mexico. And the study's been done through the New Mexico State University. When you add the sum of the food processing and stuff in, it's the number two industry in the state. We've already seen what the Endangered Species Act does to the economic stability of communities like Weed, where I went to school. Shut it down. Okay.
Timber's gone.
Another study from the New Mexico State University is New Mexico should be one of the wealthiest states in the nation. If they could tap into their natural resources, which the Endangered Species Act has denied us to do that, you know where we are? We're either two or three up from the bottom in poverty. And yet they want to kill another industry, which is number two. How can we let that happen from local if the local and state government doesn't intervene on behalf of the personal property rights of the sovereign citizens of this state? We're done. Okay, everybody, you talked about Alamogordo, everybody in Alamogordo is a stakeholder. They just don't realize it. If you eat meat, you are a stakeholder, because we've already seen the height, the cost of it go so high through the shortage. What's going to happen? It's going to come in from Brazil and Argentina, and we're going to be dependent on our food just like we are from our oil. The only thing is, we're going to have a disease. We're not going to have the good stuff. That's a long, there's a long comment there without a question. So I'm going to make the question. I try to show you the passion. It's not that we're trying to privatize this stuff or anything. It's that it's a custom and a culture that we want to continue. You know, people have livelihoods on the line, and the state of New Mexico is at risk. My question is this. According to Section 5 in the Endangered Species Act, that it cannot infringe on personal private property rights. Okay, we have not been able to get the state or the local government to verify that we have those senior pre-1907 property rights. As local officials, and the devastation that you see coming on board, what are you prepared? How are you prepared to try to get resolved to this, or to try to get some kind of a TRO, a temporary restraining order, or something that will give us a stay until we can get to court, or whatever? I mean, what do you see a mechanism to keep this industry in the state of New Mexico?
Ouch, that's a tough one.
Go ahead.
I don't
know what else to say.
I know, but that's tough.
This thing on. On that one, your name was Gary, right?
Sometimes.
Yes. On that issue, I'm not completely up to speed. Tomorrow, as soon as the clerk's office opens, I'm going to go down and request a copy of this lawsuit and talk to some folks down at the county and do a little research on this. But I mean, bottom line is, if I were in there, I would probably start getting staff researching to try to prove that you guys had those water rights prior to 1907. You know, start working on that, get that proved, you know, and then start getting these state legislators to start, you know. It's a hard fight. I've been in that fight with the BLM on different issues and the Forest Service, you know, when the up there at Bonita Lake when it burned. That was the biggest nightmare, because the law may read this, but they don't seem to care what that law reads. You know what I mean? They just do what they want to do, and then you fight them, and you fight them, and you fight them, and sometimes people just get exhausted, and then, you know, but that's how I would handle that, and I would talk with the county attorney, and I think they have another attorney on board that asks questions on that, and try to figure out a way to stop that. You know, I know there was one time there was something we were going to take action on, and a constituent in the district at the time filed a TRO against us where we were not able to act on, we could not take action on an item at our airport back when I was a city commissioner. So I think it's possible, but it's because of who you're dealing with the federal government and the Forest Service, that makes it difficult. But tomorrow I'm going to go down and do a little research on that issue and start asking some questions and see what remedies there are and what could be done to stop that. Because, thank you.
Personally, I think we're in a unique position right now. We've got some people in here, some fresh people. You know, I know that the commission has been working on this issue. I know that Yvette has been tirelessly working on this issue. And I've heard you guys, you know, and fighting the federal government is hard. It's hard. Unfortunately, because I had a long conversation with Colt, and every time you get this portion of it taken care of, they come at it from a different angle. And then you got to fight that one. Then they come at it from a different angle, and you got to fight that one. So it's constantly changing, and you have to continue the fight. And like I said earlier, I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to get in there and continue to do that and work with Yvette and work with the state, and because this is ridiculous. It truly is. I mean, you guys have documentation that shows that you had these allotments and these rights from back before my great-grandparents were born.
Before there was a forest.
Right.
Before there was even a forest.
In fact, some of them weren't even before it was a state. Mm-hmm. I mean, enough.
The dinosaurs ruined the land.
Part of the issue is that, so they come in and they say, oh, this is prime habitat for a jumping mouse that doesn't actually exist here, but because this is potential area where the jumping mouse could be, you can't be there. I'm sorry, are you going to introduce a jumping mouse?
We're going to build a five fence around it.
You know, and measure it from here when, the, you know, when right here is where... It's infuriating, and I understand it, and I feel for you. Every time I talk to you guys, my heart dies a little bit. I don't understand how they can be doing this to you.
I'm sorry, they're not through, but I just have to say this. I just have to say this, and I hope you forgive my passion in this, because it's that you have to understand, and Doug knows this. This is not doesn't have anything to do with wildlife. It has nothing to do with endangered species. It has to do with control of people. It just happened to be the biggest hammer they have in their tool bag.
Water.
But it's water.
They can control the water.
And if you don't think it's going to affect Alamogordo, you're wrong.
Oh, no. Yeah, absolutely.
Because they're slowing the water down. They're spreading it out. They're stopping the flow. And they're not doing anything in the world to improve the watershed. You're going to run out of water.
Amen.
They want us out of the mountains first.
It doesn't make any sense. I understand. And like I said, they started off with this over here, then they went to this, and then they realized that they could really get you guys by controlling the water. I mean, like I said, they have changed their tactic. Every time you stop them, they change their tactic to something new. You know, so it's not over. This is not over. We win this water situation, right? They're going to move on to something else. They're going to find something else, you know, and then we'll have to fight that one too. But so long as there's still fight in you, you guys have been fighting for so long. it's unreal. I can't, like I said before, I can't believe you guys are still doing this at this point. It just baffles me. You guys are strong, you know, because you believe in what you're doing and you're doing the right thing, you know, and I commend you for that. But I want to be right there next to you and make sure that this, you know, next time they, when they switch gears, and right now when they're in this gear now, I want to fight with this. When they switch gears, I want to be there for that one too. You guys have all touched my heart coming in here and talking to me and putting stuff in there like that.
That's it.
Yeah,
maybe
along.
We're
running
out of time.
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Gary, it's like diabetes. It starts out on the toenail, and then it takes a toe, and then you take two toes, and then you take a foot and a piece, and finally it eats up. But you guys had a life to live, and that's what you have to do. You have to stay alive. You know, this world is going to change pretty drastically in another 6 months. Mm-hmm. You know what's going to happen. You know who's going to get to be president. Look what this other president has been doing to this nation. Now, you think a new president can't change things like you're talking about? You think that he is going to, if he's elected, and I think he will be, do you think he's going to turn his back on the little guy? I don't think he will.
They want the little guy gone before he gets there. That's the problem.
I know. You just got to stay alive long enough for another 6 months. And you know what? The guy on top that has that pen, he can do anything he wants in this country. Look what's happened in the last 7-8 years. So you just got to be strong, and you got to keep your prayers up. And I don't want to get... I'm not kissing anybody's rear end right now, but, you know, the man said, all things ask of my Heavenly Father in my name, all things will be given you. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say it might happen. He said it will be given you. So you have to concentrate on that. And the power of prayer is more than anything. I've used it so many times in my life. I've gotten what I've gotten out there selling liquor by getting on my knees in the darkness of my closet and asking for that specific thing. And it happened to me. The house I live in, all the businesses I've owned, I learned that as a young man. Doesn't matter who you are, he's on your side. If you know when they're up there and you know he's up there, you'll get what you ask for. It's going to be all right.
Okay, we got to end this. We're running out of time.
All right, we're running out of time. But, you know, again,
to bring pillows in here pretty quick.
Hey, that'll work. To Colt and Gary, you know, these guys trying to run a business and trying to run their cattle. And right on top of that, government being in our problems. Our forests up here are in the worst condition than they've ever been in. Ever. Look to our neighbors. Look to the Mescalero Apaches. The Mescalero Apaches aren't burning down the reservation because they take care of their forest. What has the Forest Service done for us? Nothing. I heard a really great analogy about our forests. You can only put so many straws into a cup of water before the cup of water is empty. You can only put so many trees in the ground before there's no water for the trees. There's scientific measurements out there that say we should only have so many trees per acre. And we've got triple, quadruple that number of trees up there in our forest. The Forest Service is supposed to manage our forests. Where are they? It's time to kick them out. How do you, as potential commissioners, feel about that land needs to be taken away from the Forest Service and given back to the states that control?
Well, absolutely. On top of it, we had a situation even in the city where they were talking about charging an extra dollar a meter so that they could actually pay somebody to go up there and force the Forest Service to do their job. I'm sorry, we're already paying taxes for that, and they're not doing their job now. Why am I going to pay additional money to have somebody go up there and twist their arm? It's not going to happen. We need to learn from the Mescaleros, and I mean, their forest looks good. They're not having the wildfires like they were having before. We need to get that handled, period. You know, I'm not exactly sure what channel we need to go through in order to get that done, but I will find that out.
All right. Okay, no more questions. We got to wrap this up. We got one other thing in business that we need to, so I'm going to give you like 30 seconds to say your goodbyes and whatever you want to say. Josh?
I just appreciate y'all allowing me to come and speak tonight, and like I say, I'm going to do some research here in the next couple of weeks on several of these issues. I'm not as far up to speed on them as Lori is, and see where we can get with that. So I appreciate you. And ask everybody to get out and vote on June 7th. Thank you.
I appreciate you guys listening. I hope that I explained a little bit about who I am, what I know, and what I hope to bring to the table for all of you. And I appreciate your vote in the primary, because this election will be won in the primary, so we definitely have to get out and vote during that time frame. Thank you.
I think things can change for the better. I always think there's hope as long as we're alive and believe. And things can change. I feel it will. I think we're on the cusp of things right now in this nation and here in our county. And you know what? Sometimes there's time to fight. And, of course, we see what's happened when you rise yourself against the government. So you have to be careful what you do, or you may not be around very long. It's better to talk about it instead of trying to killed and be killed. I appreciate your time here, and I appreciate you inviting me here, and I've had an excellent time. And I want to say that all, probably four of the commissioners here, we haven't heard from you, but I know that these are excellent, top-notch people, and I'm proud to be among them.
Thank you. Okay, just a couple of other little business, if you'll just bear with me just a couple of minutes. I apologize. I should have asked earlier. We do have several candidates here who are running for office. So if you will stand, if you are currently running for an office, if you'll stand and introduce yourself, come up to the microphone and introduce yourself and tell us what you're running for.
I don't need a microphone. I'm loud enough. My name is John Sugg. I'm running for district attorney here in the 12th Judicial District.
Welcome, John Sugg, running for district attorney. Anybody else in here running for... Oh, it's Laura.
My name is Laura Whiteside. I am running for Otero County Treasurer, and I appreciate your vote.
Laura Whiteside, running for Otero County Treasurer. Okay, anybody else? Okay, thank you all very much for coming. Next month, April 21st is our next meeting. We will have our county treasurer, Laura Whiteside, and Kathy Prather here to speak, and along with District Judge Dan Bryant and Chris Nedbolick will be here April 21st. May 19th, our following meeting, will be District Attorney candidates John Sugg and David Ceballos. So those two meetings should be pretty good. And then finally, in June, we have a primary, and then maybe we'll, not so bad locally, but boy, it'll cut us down in these national stuff. So, let's see, I think Mike just has one more announcement and introduction, so I'll turn it over to Mike.
Thank you. I just real quick wanted to let you know we have a special guest with us here tonight. His name's Adrian So. And I wanted to invite him to speak a few minutes to us.
I won't need a microphone, but I'm pretty loud.
How cute is that, little boy?
My name's Adrian Sewell, and I'm a sixth-generation Texan. I moved to New Mexico and bought a ranch about 4 years ago. My wife and I, we were in the oil business, and I missed my rehearsal dinner and didn't get to go on a honeymoon, and we said, well, that oil field's too much work. All my family's been in it all my life, oil and ranching. So we set out to find us a ranch, and we ended up over here in Silver City, New Mexico. And soon after we got there, we realized all the problems that these guys over here were facing. And we saw our dream being taken away. And so what are we going to do? We started brainstorming. We couldn't figure it out. So we said, well, we're here. We done spent the money. We're going to stay here and fight. And so, you know, New Mexico is a third world state. And you don't have to like that. It's the truth. Okay? This is a diamond in the rough, and it's a crying shame, the shape this state's in. Okay? You know, for 80 years you've been Democrat, and you're the poorest state in the Union besides maybe Mississippi. I don't know. You're number one in teen pregnancy. You're number one in dropout rate. You name the statistic, you're number one in it. And now I'm number one in it. And now he's number one in it. And them little twins are number one in it. And I'm not going to tolerate that. So people ask me from over there at Silver City, why'd you move over here if it's so damn bad? I said, well, because I'm just like everybody else in Texas. I can come over here and give y'all the energy to fight, or I'll fight for you and you can stay home. I don't care. So I went to Burns, Oregon. I made friends with Lavoie Finicum after Clive and Bundy standoff, because those guys were making a real stand. A real stand. They weren't in meetings talking about it. They were there being about it. And just like I told my wife tonight, you all know, if you're familiar with the story, Lavoie was on his way to another county the day he got killed. And so today, when we made our way over here, that's crossed our mind. Because you got county problems, you got city problems, ranchers are getting killed and in prison, and that's a fact. They put the Forest Service, Department of Interior, put a wanted poster out on me, and I'll show it to you.
Yeah, they did.
No, he didn't. Well,
how much money you got on your head?
I don't know, but if you'd like to try it, go ahead.
I'm not taking it.
I don't know where it is, but I brought it with me. And so I don't have any warrants out for my arrest, but I'm wanted by the Department of Interior, the FBI, the U.S. Marshals, the Forest Service. I don't know. There's every agency you can name on there. What, Fish and Game? And so I become familiar with these issues going on, and I'm familiar with the Goss's issue. And that's really why I'm here tonight. Because what's coming down on them is coming down on us all, but it's coming down on them right now. Members of your community, I passed out a little bulletin there that I made up today to explain what this habitat for this jumping mouse entails. Over in the Gila, we got the wolf. What's coming on us is the garter snake. The wolf is no big deal, just like Colt made a point the other day. I never thought about it, because they're after every species that lives in a riparian area, and then they come in there and fence you off, and then you're left high and dry with a bunch of cattle. So if you don't know that ranching built your community, you better get to know it, because they did. And if it goes down, you'll go down. You can count on it. You know, it was some years ago, I came over here and I showed up in Weed with a pack of bear hounds. And
don't forget a whole pack of bull snakes.
And I ran into a man named Jimmy Goss. Didn't know him from Adam. Just showed up on his doorstep because somebody said he knows where the bear are. So I knocked on his door and he let me in. And I sat in there and visited with him for a minute. And then he ended up just loading up and going with me for the whole day. You know, and that was the first and the last time I ever got to meet him and be with him. But he never treated me like I was anybody other than his best friend or his son or his grandson or anybody else. And that made a real impression on me about the type of people that are over here. And when I went and started looking for ranches, you know, I never thought that there was all this environmental terrorism and all this stuff that goes on. I've had cattle shot. I bought the ranch from a widow whose husband was murdered, stabbed to death on the road we live on, unsolved. Where was the FBI then? Where was the Forest Service then? He's still dead. Nobody's ever answered for it. Okay? You know, and let's see. The day before Jade Helms started, I believe it was June 14th or 15th, the FBI and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service showed up at my house, and I don't live in town. I live off the grid and off the map. They knocked on my door. I answered the door. First question out of their mouth, are you an extreme rancher? And I said, well, you know, I don't know what that means. Well, do you know any extreme ranchers? I said, you know, I don't know what that means. Am I extremely serious about my way of life and making a living? You dang right I am. And so they questioned me there for about 2 hours. And, you know, I gave them my honest opinion. They videoed it. That may be why I'm suspect number one right now. I don't know. But I dang sure didn't sugarcoat it. And so I just want everybody to know what's going on. If you don't know what's going on, you guys, you know, I sit up here and listen to you, and all you talked about is bickering between the county and the state and money. The root of all evil. That's all I heard about tonight was money. I don't care about money. Okay? I care about my way of life, And I care about my neighbor because I love my neighbor. Okay? And that's Lavoie and Ammon and Ryan. Lavoie's dead. Ammon and Ryan are in prison. And the rest of their posse, they were out spreading the truth. And that's why they killed them. That's why they murdered Lavoie. Okay? If you got any question about if you stand up against these people, what will happen? Let me tell you. They're going to try to kill you or imprison you. And you guys are fighting about county and city and all that. Well, we're fighting a way bigger enemy. And it ain't about bickering this and fighting over that. It's about being killed and going to prison for standing up for rights we already have. And there's only a few of us, but if we band together, we know we're going to win it. Just like he said, praying to the Lord, our prayers will be answered. They will be. I promise you that. And that's who our faith is in as ranchers and a community. We believe in the God Almighty because we know He created it. And we know He'll take it away. But I just want to thank you all for letting me come. You know, a lot of people think I'm violent or aggressive or whatever, and maybe I am. Because when people are threatening them little twin babies and this boy and my wife, I'm going to stand up for what I believe in.
You bet. We're all that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Well, I don't see that as violent. I see that as passionate. So I applaud you, Mr. Sewell, and our prayers are with you and your family and, of course, the ranchers. And although it is the root of all evil, we still have to continue and continue on. And it's like somebody said, if we can just get rid of that man that is occupying the White House right now and put in a conservative or anybody other than Hillary or Bernie at this point. I mean, we've got to change it. And, you know, with your fight with the FBI, and there's so much. You know, people, it really is a lot worse than we know. There are so many fights going on in different areas of this different subjects that we have no idea. We've got so many battles going on with the government right now that it's sad. It's sad. And you're right. They're just wanting to take us over. They're wanting to take us over and be the good little sheep and just follow suit. So we can't let that happen. So make sure when you vote June 4th, you better vote Republican or don't come back here. I don't know what to tell you, people. Better vote Republican. Right? That's right. Vote Republican or don't come back here because what's that new sign out now? I'm white, I'm female, I'm a woman or something, and I'm sure not voting for Hillary. So, all right. Well, if there is nothing else, does anybody have any announcements they would like to make or anything? Miss March?
I'd like to thank Teresa for making me aware of what was going on in Burns. I have watched everything. I have read everything. I am so angry that every time I watch something that you post or go a little deeper, I think my blood pressure goes right back. We have a bad fight, and if you think it isn't coming here, you are not.
It's already here.
Paying attention.
It's already here, but people, like you said, they buy their meat at Albertsons. They don't know where it comes from. They just think it magically appears, and if it doesn't affect us directly, we don't get in the fight. We don't bother to fight for our friends and our family. People don't do that anymore. We've lost that survival of the love and the compassion that we have for one another. We're losing that. It's sad. We have to regain that. So it is a sad state of affairs that we are in, and we've got to change it, and we have to do something, and you've got to do something. And as someone said, get out from behind those computers and do something. If you're not going to run for office, then help good people get in office. Get good people in office that are going to make a change. If you don't want to do it, then help people that are. And then make sure that they're going to do it. And if they're not going to do it when they get there, you make sure that you get their ass out of that office and put somebody else in there that's going to do it. Because we've got some elected officials, you know, who's sitting up in Santa Fe now that hasn't done a damn thing for this state since she's been here. So thank God she's on her way out. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, on April 16th, he mentioned LaVoy Finnegan on April 16th in Roswell. In Roswell, on April 16th at noon, they're going to have a rally for LaVoy Finnegan.
Say it again. On April 16th in Roswell, they're going to have a rally for LaVoy Finnegan, the guy that he mentioned that was killed. So I think probably in May, we probably will have one here. They're having rallies all over, every state, all over they're having them. And it's growing big. You know, it's growing bigger and bigger. People are getting involved.
We got to.
And I'll say this, there's no elected official. I don't care who gets elected president. I don't care if it's Mickey Mouse. He's not going to save us. An elected official is not going to save America.
The people are.
Make America great again. It's the people's choice.
It's the people that are going to make
but
it.
An elected official, I don't care who it is, they're not going to fix this.
Well, they're not. But if we don't get good people in there...
I don't think there are any good people.
Well, there are good people. There are good people. And there's a lot of good people in this room. There are good people. The bad thing is that good people don't want to do that because they don't have the support. There are good people. Lots of good people.
Well, they're not running for president.
Well, they're not. That's too bad. They don't want to run for office. That's the bad thing. So, all right. Well, if there's nothing else, please thank you all for coming. And please remember to please do something good for somebody. Yes?
One last comment. Uh-huh. Jimmy Goss came to the Tea Party meeting about 2 weeks before he died. Mm-hmm. Jimmy and Francis were there. And at that Tea Party meeting, I made the comment. Jimmy Goss and Francis Goss and all those ranchers up there have fed and watered more wildlife by accident than the Forest Service has done on purpose. And I think those ranchers are the heart of the...
They are. They are, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I have a quick question. Do you guys hold these meetings once a month?
Here. Yes. Third Thursday.
Do you advertise? How do people know?
Paper, Facebook,
email.
Radio,
yeah.
Everything but skywriting.
Rocky just tells everybody to tell.
Everything but skywriting. It's in the paper, on the radio.
Every third Thursday.
Email.